UWC has an interim COVID-19 vaccine policy for 2022. This is a position that most of the universities have come to already, and all are constrained to try and do. UWC spokesperson Chasant Abada joins us now. Chasant, good afternoon. Morning.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning.
I don't time yet. Yeah. It's part of your routine, no?
Not a great line, but we'll proceed with it in the hopes that it clears up. Interim meaning what?
Interim, John, in the sense that this is a very fluid situation. You know, the fact that, you know, the president addressed us and there might be a fourth wave on the way. We're talking about a new variant. So the policy is also subject to all national regulations. An interim means that it will be reviewed after the first semester next year.
Does that policy state that in order to get on to campus, students and staff need to be vaccinated?
It does, but it also makes provision for students to register for courses that doesn't require them to be on campus, as we've been working over the last 2 years. So we're still going to offer flexible online learning, and so we took a bit of a while, more so than other universities, to come up with this policy because there was extensive consultation with all our stakeholders, and we wanted to make this as inclusive as possible so as not to leave anybody out. So those who haven't vaccinated are not left on the outskirts or qualified, but at the same time, there are courses that require a hard mandate, like dentistry, nursing, where you absolutely have to be vaccinated. You're working with people, and also there are clinical work that needs to be done.
All of the universities are they've either come up with their policies or they are still going through the consultation process. And it seems to me that there are two key areas of concern. One is the level to which you resource the online option. To what extent do you make it as easy for somebody to study online as in a physical environment and do tutorials and engage with academic staff or psychological counseling staff or whatever the case may be? Is that just an afterthought, or do you really give as much attention to that teaching space as to the physical teaching space? And then the second thing is, to what extent, everybody's talking about allowing exemptions on health and constitutional grounds. Health is easier to establish. I mean, I don't know what policy you have come up with regarding applications for exemption, people who want, for whatever reason, still to have access to campus but refuse to get vaccinated on grounds other than provable health issues.
Yeah. So on the first one, John, it's impossible to replicate a student experience, a campus experience. I mean, we've been on lockdown since a week before the national lockdown last year, and I miss the place. It's an amazing place to be. So when you ask, can you offer the same kind of experience, we can't. However, it is notable that since our lockdown, we've had 94% attendance rates of learning and teaching online, and it's even higher than when students are actually on campus. So it has evolved over time since last year, and it's become better. We've zero-rated the data, and also been able to provide thousands of our students with laptop devices. On the second point, there are exemptions related to religion, to the Constitution, and to health issues, but you would have to make quite a solid case. And it's not going to be a willy-nilly consideration. It will be assessed by a task team that we established quite early on during the pandemic. and everything we do is...
I'm really interested in this aspect, Chrisant, because we might be moving towards vaccine mandates, we might be moving towards compulsory vaccination at national level. So I'm really interested in who gets exempted. So give me an example of an approach which could be made which would result in an exemption being granted, because there are constitutional rights over one's own body, but all of the constitutional rights can be limited when that limitation is reasonable. So how does a university navigate that issue without the Constitutional Court yet having decided on it?
I'd imagine with great difficulty, John, and I can't think of a single example where somebody would get such an exemption. But we do, as I mentioned, we do have a task team that would consider all cases. And the consultation has been wide. So it's tried. We also had a campus-wide survey that included everybody on campus. And the student voice was very important to us. So the SRC also had a big say. And the SRC is represented on council as well, where this policy was passed on Thursday by the outgoing chair and also the new chair, Judge Nathan Erasmus. So it's a difficult one, you know, and I think if anybody claims to have all the answers during these uncertain times, you'd be hard-pressed to say that. So just in terms of the constitutionality, obviously rights are not absolute. And there are certain, how can I say, an individual rights can never trump that of a, you know, of a group or the population, you know.
Chrisant Abada speaking there for UWC, the latest in a line of universities to say this is our policy around coronavirus and teaching next year. Sound travels extremely well in water, much better than air. Disagree with 500-meter rule. Why are they spending so much on fossil fuels instead of renewables? As a diver, I know how incredibly far sound travels underwater. Sometimes a boat sounds right above your head, but it's 1 kilometer away. This 500-meter radius is just not enough. Chase Shell off our coast. We chase them out of the Karoo. Get rid of that lying, destructive, greedy menace for good. Yes, like my blood pressure. Esme, chamomile tea. I think that's what you need to do for yourself. Cup of chamomile tea.